The following is an amateur radio newsline special report. I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. On Friday, July 17th, a legend in broadcast journalism and in ham radio passed from the scene. That person was the man who eventually became known as the most trusted person in America. Of course, we're talking about Walter Cronkite, KB2 GSD. With a look at the man, his career, and his connection to amateur radio, here's Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
Ham radio became a late-in-life hobby to KB2 GSD, and he didn't get into it for the reasons that most of us did. In Walter Cronkite's case, he was in love with sailing and owned his own boat. It was suggested by some of his co-workers at CBS News, who were hams, that having an amateur radio station on board would be an additional measure of safety. One of those CBS hams was former ARRL director Steve Mendelson, W2ML, now with ABC.
Well, in the first 20 years of my career in broadcasting, I was fortunate enough to be an engineer for the CBS radio network. In that capacity, many of the big names of 60 Minutes, our CBS Evening News, and many of the names that became household icons passed through the little control room that I operated in, one of which was Walter Cronkite. And Walter was always interested in ham radio, but said he could never pass the code test. And for years, Walter and I shared a love of the sea. I actually retired after 30 years in the Navy and Navy Reserve as a Navy senior chief. So Walter and I would spend 15 to 20 minutes each day just talking about ham radio, talking about the Navy and his sailing.
Also working at CBS at the time as a news producer was current CQ editor Rich Moseson, W2VU. He was N2BFG back then and an associate producer of the award-winning children's series In the News. He, along with Mendelson, were the two volunteer examiners who administered Walter Cronkite's novice class Morse test.
I remember my boss at the time, Joel Heller, WA2FFI, who was an executive producer at CBS News, calling me into his office one day, and Steve Mendelson and Walter Cronkite were sitting there. He said, "Mr. Cronkite's decided to get his ham license and take his test, and Steve's going to do the written test. This is for the novice. Would you be willing to give him the code test?" Of course, I said yes.
And what an exam it was. Back in those days, the novice came by mail and required only two higher-grade hams to administer the test. Moseson and Steve Mendelson gave Walter his novice Morse test in a most unusual setting. Again, Steve Mendelson, W2ML.
When the talent came in and sat down in front of the microphone, you always took your tone oscillator and set a proper level into the recording devices, in this case some very, very old tape recorders. And while I had the tone up, I looked at the producer, and the producer this particular day was Rich Moseson, now W2VU. I started sending code just for fun. Walter sat behind the microphone, took his pencil out, and started copying. I did that for 10 minutes, picked up a copy of the New York Times, and just sent a sentence out of the Times. I think it was about, actually, three long sentences. Richard timed it, and when we were done, I said to Walter, "How did you do?" And he read them back perfectly. So Rich and I looked at each other and said, "Yep, okay, he just passed the code test." And I hit the intercom between the control room and the recording booth, and I said, "Are you sure you couldn't pass a code test?" And he said, "No, I'd be too nervous." And I just smiled at Rich. Rich smiled at me. And I said, "Well, you just passed your code test. Now you better go study for the written."
And that was it. The FCC assigned Walter Cronkite the call letters KB2GSD. That call and his novice license were the only ones he ever held. And while he was not on the air very much, Steve Mendelson remembers one very amusing 10-meter QSO that he and Cronkite were both part of.
Walter had gotten on 10 meters without very much in the way of activity. It was a sunspot minimum that year. And so he called me on the phone and said, "Would you at least work me so I can say I've talked to somebody?" Well, little did he know, it was one of those crazy days when 10 meters was open to the Midwest, but he could barely hear me. So we're talking to each other, and suddenly a gentleman comes in from Kansas City and says, that is the worst Walter Cronkite imitation I have ever heard. And I did the usual QRZ. He came back to me with his call sign, and he said, your friend does a lousy Cronkite imitation. So I turned it over to Walter, KB2GSD, this is WA2DHF. Could you do that imitation again? And he said, hi, my name is Walter, Whiskey America Lima Tango Echo Romeo, and I'm in New York City. And there's dead silence for a minute. The guy comes on and says, okay, you have the same first name, but come on, Walter Cronkite on ham radio? Never gonna happen. And I said to the gentleman, well, actually, that is Walter Cronkite. And he said, you know, you guys from New York, all you want to do is fool people or take us in the Midwest for fools. Well, we're not. And with that, he signed off. And Walter said, are they all like that?
Walter Cronkite's ham radio legacy was assured in 2002 when he agreed to narrate the ARRL-sponsored video Amateur Radio Today. Dave Bell, W6AQ, was the executive producer of that project and tells us how Cronkite's involvement came about.
Bill Pasternak and Alan Call and I and Jim Haney, the president of the ARRL, we all wanted Walter Cronkite to narrate this film. We got Bill Baker, who was the head of public television in New York City and happens to be W1BKR, to ask Walter if he'd do it, and Walter said he would. I went to New York with my little digital video camera, and when Walter saw me in his office, I got there before he did, with a little camera, he knew that he wasn't just going to narrate this film, that he was actually going to host it. So we chatted about how much more affected it would be if he were on camera, and he agreed with me. He narrated the thing perfectly. We did three or four sentences at a time, and then we would pause, and then he'd go right on. And my friend Alan wrote that script, and Walter only changed one word. And it's probably the ham radio film that I am the most proud of, and it really does cement Walter's connection to amateur radio.
More on the life and the ham radio legacy of Walter Cronkite, KB2GSD, in a moment. Right now it's time for you to identify your station. From Los Angeles, this is Amateur Radio Newsline, and we'll be right back. Now, back to Mark Abramovich, NT3V, and more on the ham radio legacy of Walter Cronkite, KB2GSD.
2 years later, as broadband over powerline internet access threatened to wipe out much of the high-frequency ham radio spectrum, the ARRL again turned to Dave Bell for a video to help educate the ham radio public on this threat to its survival. The script by the late Alan Call, W6RCL, was written with Walter Cronkite in mind to narrate. The question was, would he? Once again, Dave Bell, W6AQ.
The ARRL was having no luck at all with the FCC, and they wanted the members of Congress and all of the FCC commissioners who were reasonable to understand the ARRL's position about broadband over power line, which basically just wiped out the high-frequency spectrum for hams, any place that BPL was employed. Once again, getting Walter to host a film about BPL gave it weight that no other person in the entire country could give it. When a congressman or an executive in Washington of any kind gets a DVD and it says, narrated by Walter Cronkite, that means it's true. I don't think that film would have been nearly as effective with anybody else narrating it.
Walter Leland Cronkite Jr. was born in St. Joseph, Missouri on November 4, 1916. Having developed an interest in the media, in 1935 he dropped out of college in his junior year after starting a series of newspaper reporting jobs covering news and sports. Cronkite's first broadcast job came the same year when he landed an announcer's job at WKY Radio in Oklahoma City. In 1936, he met his future wife, Betsy Maxwell, while working as the sports announcer for KCMO in Kansas City. In 1950, Walter Cronkite began his television career, working at Washington, D.C. station WTOB-TV after being recruited into CBS News by the great Edward R. Murrow. On July 7, 1952, the term anchor was coined to describe Cronkite's role at the first ever telecasts of the Democratic and Republican national conventions. In the 1950s, Walter Cronkite hosted the CBS programs You Are There and The 20th Century. Later, he also hosted a game show called It's News to Me, based on news events. On April 16, 1962, Cronkite succeeded Douglas Edwards as the anchor for the prestigious CBS Evening News. Under Cronkite's 19 years at its helm, the CBS Evening News acquired a reputation for accuracy and depth in its broadcast journalism, and Cronkite himself was given the title of the most trusted man in America. This because of his professionalism and kindly demeanor when reporting. By the time Walter Cronkite retired from the Evening News on March 6, 1981, he had become affectionately dubbed Uncle Walter by his millions of nightly viewers, the same people who had earlier named him the most trusted man in America. After turning the reins of the CBS Nightly News over to Dan Rather, he went on to another career as one of the world's greatest commentators, guest speakers, and documentarians. This included hosting the annual Vienna New Year's concert on PBS and the Kennedy Center Honors Performance from Washington. In addition to appearing in the two ARRL ham radio videos, most recently he teamed up with his son Chip, producing material that aired on the new retirement TV network. Across all of his years in broadcasting and broadcast journalism, Walter Cronkite won many literary awards. And on March 1, 2006, KB2-GSD became the first non-astronaut to receive NASA's Ambassador of Exploration Award, this in recognition of his support and reporting on the United States space program. On June 26, Cronkite's family issued a short statement that read, and we quote, "In order to dispel false rumors, Walter Cronkite's family want it known that, sadly, he is very ill and is not expected to recuperate. He is resting at home, surrounded by family, friends, and a wonderful medical team. We thank everyone for their prayers and good wishes." End quote. Now, Walter Cronkite, KB2-GSD, may no longer be among us, but the legacy he left behind will be a part of the world and the world of amateur radio forever. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, reporting.
Thank you, Mark. We'll have more on the passing of Walter Cronkite, KB2-GSD, in our next newscast. That's on Friday, July 24th. For now, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in Los Angeles. This Amateur Radio Newsline special report is copyright 2009. All rights are reserved.